Jenny and I, whenever I said her name, her head turned. She has no idea what I'm going to say. Jenny and I are planning a trip for our 30th anniversary. Amen. Well, I mean, if we make it that far.
Amen. Not looking so good, right?
Yeah. I'm finding that baggage fees for international travel have gone way up. I mean, it's just unbelievable what it takes to have a suitcase go with you. And suitcases can only be 50 pounds. Jenny says that's not going to be a problem. So we're having to think through what all we're going to need to take with us. Like, what's going to be absolutely essential? Or is there a way that we can, be able to wear the same clothes for 2 or 3 days at a time?
Which now is... You're in Europe, nobody...
Yeah!
They don't shower.
You're saying everybody smells in Europe?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm thinking it's not going to be a problem for me, and I can do that. I can go days on end. I don't typically do that when I'm working, so don't worry. But that's not really a problem for me. But trying to find out what you're really going to need and what you really don't need in order to go on the trip, I think, is the most difficult part. Well, our gospel text this morning describes a different kind of trip, a journey that Jesus is taking his disciples on. And it is a description of what is absolutely essential to becoming a follower of Jesus, of what you and I need to have to truly follow. I mean, to really follow Jesus, not just say, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus, but to really do it. Well, first, you'll need a proper perspective on your life. Your life in particular. Jesus wanted people to know what would be required of them. So he's got the disciples there and there's a crowd around him. As he is, teaching and talking and doing various things. And he tells about going on a journey. I'm getting ready to go on this journey, and there's going to be some suffering, and there's going to be death. And, he's really painting a gloomy picture of what is about to take place. And he wants them to understand all of this. He wants them to have the proper perspective, because if they're going to follow him, they need to know what's really important and what they need to have with them as they go through their life with him. And so Peter is already in trouble. And this is a painting of pictures. It's not the best in the world in terms of being able to see it here this morning. But Peter had already been rebuked for having the wrong answer about what Jesus was in the world to do, right? And what it would mean to follow him. Peter's always shooting off his mouth, isn't he?
Amen.
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. And he is continually getting into trouble. And I kind of think I can identify with that. And I think I've learned over the years to measure my words a little bit better, but I think there's a little bit of Peter in me, and I think there's a little bit of Peter in all of us, right? So Jesus told the other disciples in the crowd, he says, if anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves. And he says, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, they will save it. To follow Jesus then required self-denial. And as Jesus told Peter, you do not have human things on your brain. You have human things on your brain. That's all you're thinking about. And so he says to the crowd that you have to be the same way. You have to have that perspective of a heavenly perspective, not just a human perspective. The quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that's in the bulletin today is as helpful as it is challenging. Self-denial means knowing only Christ and no longer oneself. It means seeing only Christ, who goes ahead of us, and no longer the path that is too difficult for us. Self-denial is saying only, He goes ahead of us. Hold fast to Him. These are words from a man who gave his life speaking out against Hitler and taking steps to be able to rid our world of Hitler. And ultimately, he failed in that. But ultimately, he gained his life. He knew something about self-denial. And the same is true for us today. If we want to follow Jesus, we must have a proper perspective on our lives and on what God wants us to do as we're on this spinning mud heap in the universe. This is where we are. And so what are we to do here on this earth? Well, it seems to me that we are a lot like Peter. We are being zealous in life, but we often do the wrong things. We have set our minds on human things, especially those things that make us comfortable and safe, rather than on the things of God. On this second Sunday in Lent, take a look at your own life and evaluate your current perspective. One reason we give things up during Lent is, and the idea is that we give up those things that are comfortable, so that when we are without them, we realize how much we depend on them, and sometimes in unhealthy ways. And so it is good for us to be able to get out of that comfort zone and to think about, how can I deny myself to make myself more like God wants me to be? I wonder, do you, like Peter, have your perspective more on human things, or are they on divine things? I mean, it's easy today. You're at church. Amen. But tomorrow, what's it going to be like for you? Are you trying to save your life by hanging on to it, or are you losing it for Jesus' sake and the sake of the gospel? Those are some good questions for us to be asking. Well, the next thing Jesus emphasized to the disciples and to the crowd was their need for commitment. So deny yourselves, and he says, take up your cross. To go with him from there required that they pick up a cross. And Jesus knew that they were quite familiar with what the Romans were doing with crosses, nailing people to them on the outskirts of the city. So if they had come into Jerusalem, they no doubt would have seen these crosses up in the air, and they would have seen people who are hanging on them. Some dead, some maybe still alive at the time. But they understood what Jesus was saying, and that this was not just a form of execution, but it was a deterrence, so that when they came into Jerusalem, they would know to behave, or they would be on one of those crosses. Jesus wanted to be sure they all understood that following him could mean that they too could be on one of those crosses. As the trajectory of his life and his cause would run counter to the Roman Empire, and to even in his own religion, amongst his own people, to this myth of redemptive violence. And Peter certainly followed that myth. Lord, if we just get our swords and we get our army together, we can violently overthrow the Roman Empire. Not a good idea, and certainly was not what Jesus had in mind. To follow him required an all-out commitment to him and his mission for the world, even if it resulted in their death. This past week, we learned that Alexei Navalny died, or more, I should say, rather, we should say, was killed by Vladimir Putin in a Siberian prison. I mean, that's the worst kind of prison you can go to. He was an activist against Putin's corruption and his popularity, and he was popular for seeking reform and speaking out against Putin. And all this led him to not only being jailed and prosecuted on, you know, just sham charges against him, these crimes that he did not commit. but also resulted in him being poisoned. Once he was out of prison, he was poisoned and barely survived. You can see, you know, he looks pretty fairly healthy on this side, but as you go this direction, just the torture and the terrible circumstances that he lived through. After getting out of Russia, he decided to go back. He decided to go back. He could have come to the United States. He could have gone to, could have stayed in England. He could have gone a lot of different places. But he decided to go back to Russia, fully knowing that doing so could be the end of his life. His commitment to bringing justice and freedom to his country led him to do that. And he paid the price with his life. His commitment to something bigger than his own is astonishing. Something bigger than his own life, rather, is astonishing, is it not? Amen. In order for us to be true followers of Jesus, we must be fully committed to him. We must take up a cross. What does that look like for you? It's kind of a strange concept, isn't it?
Yes.
What does it look like for you? What cross are you to bear at this time? There's so many needs in our world today, so many things that God is doing and wants us to do in this world to make this world a better place. And God invites us to join him. Isn't that nice that God comes along and says, hey, I want you to join me. I'm at work in the Highland neighborhood and I want you to join with me in what I'm already doing. And doing so means that we will definitely run up against resistance at times. It could be the resistance of yourself, your own flesh, pulling you toward a self-centered life rather than one that's focused on your neighbor. Or it may be the cost you pay for having ethics, especially ethics at work and in business. It could be the struggle you face in standing up against racism, homophobia, or oppression. There are many crosses to bear in our world. Are you willing to take up yours? In addition to having the right perspective and commitment, Jesus told the crowd that that in order to follow him, famous last words, I thought my phone was off. It's a good reminder, everybody, turn your phones off. But Jesus told the crowd that to follow him would mean that they would actually have to start walking, right? You'd have to start walking. And that would mean that they would be in motion with him, wherever it is that he was going, and with what it was that he was doing, right? This is what he called them to do, to come along beside him. And being a disciple is not a passive position. They could have the proper perspective and even be willing to commit to a cross, but if their feet weren't actually moving, then they were still not his followers. This is where the crowd began to thin. You started to see these huge crowds that would gather around him. People started to head back home. Like, well, I was with him until he brought up that whole cross thing. And so they began to go a different direction. Not all of them, though. The words of Jesus can be thinning for the crowd of people interested in Jesus today, right?
Amen.
Where are you in that crowd? Are you still considering what Jesus says and does, but not sure about the self-denial, take up your cross part? Are you convinced and ready, but just haven't taken that initial step yet? You may have followed before, and then you got distracted somewhere along the way, and you lay down your cross, but you know this morning, you need to get back to taking that cross with you and to get back on track with God. What a great opportunity we have during Lent to do that. Or maybe you are in motion today. And if you are, keep on going. Don't stop. Wherever you are, Jesus continues to call you to the very next step. And our missional teams provide great ways to get in motion. I have some pictures here, and there was a a reel on Facebook and our Instagram page. But you can see some of this just from Thursday night. Our Highland Blessing dinner team was active. And you can see various members and there as table hosts and servers. Nobody can out-serve Charlotte. She was all over the place. And also with Nathaniel and Jamie. Isn't it great? And then you can see others who are busy serving and helping other people, the people in our community who are really hungry. And we had some great musicians too.
Rock and roll over.
This is just one of the ways that we put our faith to work. We put feet to our faith, right? This season of Lent is to be a time for us to reflect on where we are with Jesus. And may we take it seriously this week as we listen to His words. And I do hope that you are listening to His words as you go throughout each week. And may we all find that we are right there with Him every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen.